welcome to episode 44 of Divided by Werewolves. We're recording on our normal night, which wasn't supposed to happen, but I am old and sad. So I recently took a new job, and I'm no longer working from home, and I'm driving into an office. It takes me like 40, anywhere from half an hour to 45 minutes based on the day and the traffic. And I bought tickets to go see Butch Walker tonight, a ticket, because Butch Walker's fucking awesome, and he's from Cartersville, and anytime he does a show in Atlanta, it's fucking amazing, and it would have been the fourth or fifth time that I would have seen him. But last night I was exhausted because I've been working, you know, kind of the two-job thing and then driving and everything, and this morning I was exhausted, and I was like, I can't – like, I sadly can't – I don't think I can go to this show. I think I'm too tired. and it wouldn't be so bad except for the fact that I have to, like, I'd be driving, I'd get in the car to drive to work, get home, drive 45 minutes, make dinner, then get back in the car, drive, you know, 45 minutes to the show, and then, you know, sit there going, you know, just finish up already so I can go home.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was talking about, like, this morning when we were talking about this. It's the same thing. If I go to a show, first of all, I pray it's a weekend. That's the first thing I do. And then it's like, oh, it's Tuesday. And I'm like, fuck you. And then if I manage to actually talk myself into paying for tickets and going, I'm sitting there. It's like, oh, doors open at 8. I'm like, it's 8:15. I'm still in line. 8:15, fellas. And then I get in there, and there's like 47 opening bands. And I'm like, all right. And they're like, we got one more. And I'm like, fuck you. That's enough.
No, you're right. And that's the thing with me, too, is like the guy that's opening for Butch Walker. I'm sure he's a nice person. I don't care. Like, I just genuinely do not care.
Nope. And I'm like, you know what? All right. We've had 8 local bands. They still have a guest or two. And I'm like, I came here for just one thing, like the main thing and maybe a guest. But when it's like 10:30. And we're on the guest. I'm like, it's time to wrap it up.
See, you go to much different shows than I do. Like, mine at least are like doors open at 8, so you know the headliner will start at 9, which is fine. And then I go, all right, but then that's at least an hour and a half, sometimes 2, and then you know, I have to drive all the way home.
Right. Right. I'm usually walking out of the Masquerade around midnight, and then I have the 2-hour drive home. And I have to be at work at 6. Right. I'm not 20 years old anymore. I just can't do it.
And the thing is, I wanted to go to this because my wife is always like, well, you never want to go to these things. And then you always have a great time. And she's right. The difference is I don't want to pass out driving home. And then I also have to work. So like, if it's a weekend, the last time I saw Butch Walker was on a weekend. It was a Saturday night. It was fucking perfect. It was great. And then when you and I went to see when we all went to see Kevin Smith, that was fine because I was sleeping in the next day.
Right.
But not on a weeknight. So thankfully, Ticketmaster, you know, they have a they let you sell your ticket. So I sold it. You know, I still ate the fees to buy it in the first place. But, you know.
Right. At least there's an option. That's a decent option. You know what I mean? Like, at least it's better than nothing.
Right. And the reality is they screw you a lot less selling tickets than they do buying them. Yeah. It's like $4. Wow. Yeah. They charge you like a $4 fee.
They're screwing whoever they're selling it to after you already paid for it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They're getting you coming and going. But you're right. At least there's an option. Like, the last time Jimmy Eat World was here, my sister's boyfriend died, so I had to leave to go to that. And then I didn't really have the option of selling it at that point. So,
right.
But anyway, so we're here. Yay. let's see. So we have a lot of things to talk about tonight. We got a bunch of movies and games and whatnot. You've been telling me that if What Remains of Edith Finch comes on the Switch, which I'm glad that you're just like, if anything even remotely interesting comes on the Switch, he'll buy it. So let me just put that idea out in his head.
Listen, it's not just you. Listen, I already bought Edith Finch, but if they fuck around and put out a physical release on the Switch, I will gladly double dip on it.
Right.
But I won't do digital again. I want a physical copy. And please, Lord, let it be like a collector's edition like I got of Axiom Verge, because, you know, I'm such a nerd for like art books and posters and just if you could put bullshit in there and put an 8-inch sticker on it. I'm like, yes, I need that. Give me that. But yeah, this game, I only played it because I don't do those like walking sims too much. And that's essentially what it is. And you have to really like dig the narrative. And that's what I think is so strong about the game. But it was on so many game of the year lists. And I had heard of it, but I was like, you know, it's not my thing. And it's not even, and everybody's like, well, is it a horror game? I was reading about this. And they were like, well, there's slight sort of elements, but it's not really. Mm-hmm. But it was on sale on the PlayStation Store, and I bought that and Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, and it was like $23 for both of them. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I've been wanting to play Hellblade, and those digital games I tend to wait for sales on for some reason, because too.
Yeah,
for so many years, like I would buy one day one, and then the next week it's on sale, and I'm like, fuck.
Well, the only reason I haven't bought Hellblade is I was like, well, at some point I expect it to be a PlayStation Plus game.
That too, right? That happens to me too. Like I bought what is that game? Tower of Monsters.
Yeah.
I'll be damned if the next month it wasn't a PlayStation Plus game.
Oh, really?
And I was like, fuck me. I spent $8 or something, and I was like, fuck. But anyway, so Edith Finch, I bought it. I hadn't played it. I spent on my PS4 for a minute. And so I finished up Nier Automata, and you know, we're doing Monster Hunter and this and that. But in the downtime, I was like, well, I really don't have a lot on my Xbox to play. So I just booted up Edith Finch. And I was immediately just fucking enamored with it. Like, it is so – first of all, the voice acting is phenomenal. Mm. And then it's such an interesting story. And it's just Edith Finch, and she's going back to her childhood home that some shit went down. And – she's narrating the history of her family while she's talking about how weird it is to go back to the house after so many years because her and her mother have left. Okay. And it goes through all these members of her family and, you know, no spoiler alert. I mean, it just, this is the premise of the game. They're all dead. Uh-huh. And so she's going back and she goes through their rooms, and each room gives you like a little thing to play through. And if by the third one, the child actors, what I was telling you about. Uh-huh. If you're not into this game, this is not the game for you. But if you listen to our shit, like what we do here, this is absolutely a game. If you're into a strong narrative in any way whatsoever, you have to play it. Like, it blew me away. It's only like maybe 3-4 hours if you really take your time. You can blow through it faster than that. But I wanted to see everything.
Right.
Like, it's good. Like, the story is just, I know why it made so many game of your list. I feel bad that it wasn't on mine. Right. And it will be on one at the end of 2018. I'm gonna rewind this shit. I'm gonna be like, you know what? Edith Finch, motherfucker, number one.
That's right.
Just fantastic.
Very good. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of games like that. Like, I still haven't played Soma. You know, I heard so many great things about it and you know, those type of games. And I would like to play it, so that's good to know. And then that way, if I see it on sale or whatever, I could pick it up. But it's also good to know that it's the voice acting, because, I mean, like, I play certain games, you know, if I play stuff on the Switch, it's very rare for me to actually listen to it, because I'm usually playing while watching TV. And then there's other, you know, same thing with some of the, you know, some of the PS4 games that I play. But it's good to know that, you know, if ahead of time that the voice acting is as good as it is, because, you know, you don't want to miss out.
Right.
So. Cool. Very good. Well, I have Far Cry 5. I haven't spent too much time in it. It's you know, it's Far Cry. I was kind of surprised. I don't know if surprise is the right word, but I was surprised. I guess we'll go with that. That people were surprised that the game wasn't really going to do anything with the story to try to, like, you know, in quotes, say something.
Right.
I you know, I I can understand that, you know, them kind of hyping it up that they were going to and giving very solemn previews and whatnot. But, you know, of course they're going to. But I'm still not surprised because at the end of the day, it's a Far Cry game.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know, like, why you would expect it to be really anything other. I mean, Far Cry 2 had definitely had a message, and, you know, spoiler alert, it wasn't that much fun.
No, that's my least favorite. Although I didn't play Primal, but Primal, Far Cry 2.
Excuse me. Primal, I mean, they were just, it was more that it was just, I mean, the moment-to-moment stuff for me just wasn't as good. The story itself wasn't bad. And in terms of, like, it's actually the most focused Far Cry of all of them, simply because you're not fucking around. You know, kind of everything you're doing is designed to help your village survive. So you're not, like, doing the testicle festival or whatever the fuck it is in Far Cry 5, you know, or all the stupid things that, you know, you can do in some of these other games and, you know, the dumb side missions. It's all pretty much like, okay, maybe that's why I don't like it as much. I think it's mostly because, I mean, I like using a bow and arrow in Far Cry, but I also like having other options. And in that game, your other option is like a spear.
That's what turned me off of it. Yeah, it was the premise, the setting. That's just not my thing.
Yeah, and I mean, I've played it, and I feel like I should finish it simply because it is the one Far Cry game that I haven't finished. But I'm also just like, Jesus, with everything else that I have to play, I don't really know if it matters.
Right.
So, but you know, this is the first one where. I mean, you can pick your own person. And the game, like the first hour or so, it's very much like you can't save, you can't like go anywhere new. You know, you're stuck on this one island, and it's to teach you about the systems. So the idea is that if you liberate this one island, then you can move on and do other things. But if you up until that point, you're pretty much just doing what the game tells you to do. And there's a little bit of freedom in the island itself. And I don't remember other Far Cries being like that. Like, I kind of remember, like, there was always that, like, opening thing. But then once they let you go, like, they just let you go.
Right.
But I also don't remember. So
yeah, like I said, I got 5 in the mail finally today, so I'm looking forward. I haven't even broke the cellophane. I'm like, I'm gonna open it in the morning and start.
Yeah, and I mean, I think in terms of like just getting together and fucking around, I think it'll be great. But you know, I really wasn't looking for it, and I think it also comes into what you're looking for. Like, I wasn't really looking for it to. I mean, it's cool that you don't have to do towers anymore. You can just, like, walk around and you uncover the map just by walking around, talking to people, finding things and stuff. So you don't have to climb towers or anything. So I think that's a nice departure because, you know, you get kind of tired of that Ubisoft way of doing things. So, you know, in that regard, it's more like Wildlands in that the map is kind of broken up into 3 regions and each region has a boss. And then you go and you do stuff. You raise the quote unquote, you know, resistance meter. And then. And then you can liberate whatever section it is that you're in. It's not like the past games where you're just like, okay, how do I just get from tower to tower as quickly as possible?
Yeah. Right.
But
that's cool.
Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, I wanted a Far Cry game. I didn't expect, I mean, this like compelling narrative, cause I mean, games are going to do that. They can't not a big budget game like this because they got to worry too much about, you know, all these fucking assholes who decide to boycott their game. I mean, Jesus Christ, there's people who are like leaving flowers outside of Bungie because they think that Destiny is dead because they're fucking dumb. They can't just go, you know what, I don't like this game anymore. I'm just going to not play it. You know,
right.
So I can understand why they're not going to, with a game like this on a budget like this, they're not going to take some huge, you know, narrative risk, and you know, they might, you know, they might not agree with the politics of a bunch of people, but they'll sure as shit take their money. So
right.
But you know, and then of course Monster Hunter still hunting.
Yep.
Still doing it.
Still making those pants.
Absolutely. All right. So movies. So we have a bunch, two in particular that we want to talk about, and then some brief comments. So we'll save the brief comments for the end, because that way
okay.
we run out of time. We won't really be losing anything. But actually three. So the first one is it's called Mom and Dad. And I don't know the guy who made it. I don't know if he's done anything. I haven't really looked. But it has Nicolas Cage and I forget who's the woman.
Selma Blair. Selma Blair.
Yeah. And they essentially are like a harried suburban couple. And the town that they live in, the parents start going crazy and killing their kids, just their kids, not all kids, just their own kids. And then the same thing happens to them as well. And like we had talked about this before, and you had said, if you like crazy Nicolas Cage, then this is definitely the game for you. The movie for you. And I agree with that, except for the fact that one, he was even over the top for crazy Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he was doing a lot of barking and like show he's crazy. And I'm like, the problem is he never seemed all that rational in the first place. Like that's the problem. Like Selma Blair seemed pretty normal, but then when she went crazy, she didn't seem like she went all that crazy. She just kind of, she was definitely more focused in her efforts to murder her children, but she didn't seem like crazy, which I guess, you know, would be,
she wasn't rabid.
Right. And Nicolas Cage, like, he has a kind of, you know, he's talking about like with his son and porn and or something and whatever.
I know.
Watching porn at work, and I'm like, this guy is already off the rails. Like, I don't know what, aside from just not wanting to murder his kids, this just seems like a Wednesday for this guy.
Yeah. I made that joke constantly watching this movie. I was like, Nicolas Cage isn't even aware he's being filmed.
Right.
He just came to in this place today, and this is how he was. Like, yeah. Like, it's so to answer your question, your initial question, it's what's his name? Brian Taylor. And he's also responsible. He wrote and directed Crank 2, Gamer, and he directed that really garbage Ghost Rider sequel.
Oh, so he's used to the Nick Cage crazy. Okay. Crank was not a bad movie. Crank 2 was not a good movie. Gamer was a horrible movie, and is I feel bad for Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
I would like him to be in a movie that's good, but if he's going to keep making movies like Gamer, then I'm not going to feel that bad.
Right.
So he was in the Ghost Rider. Well, I actually like the Ghost Rider sequel better than the first Ghost Rider.
No, I do too, but they're both hot garbage.
Oh, yeah, they're terrible.
They're fucking awful.
The actual Ghost Rider that was in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was fantastic. The Robbie Reyes Ghost Rider.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Yeah, he was really good. But anyway.
Yeah, so the thing with Mom and Dad is like, you give me a mediocre movie, more or less. It's fun enough. You know, I was laughing. It was fun making fun of Nicolas Cage. But then that ending.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, fuck you.
It's just and I don't mind spoiling it because I don't think you should watch it. But they don't resolve anything.
No.
It's just the parents are tied up and the kids just go, you know, basically give them some line that any parent gives their kids about, we're not angry with you, we're just disappointed or something. Some bullshit like that.
Yeah.
And then that's when it ends.
Yep. So it's like I said, watch it if you want to maybe have a drink or two and make fun of Nicolas Cage. But otherwise, it's.
Yeah. And I mean, I can understand why they cast him, because they're like, oh, crazy Nicolas Cage. Oh, yeah. This is what he does.
Right.
But it's just right. not, you know. When he's just known for being that way, it's different. It would be more effective if this was somebody who was like, it was against type, you know, who's like right. a normal right. loving dad. And the next thing you know, he completely fucking flips out. That would yes. be, make more
that
sense.
That would have been so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway. All right. So the next two are actually good movies that you should go see. Although, mm-hmm. well, we'll get to Uprising. We'll do that one. So the first one is Alex Garland's latest movie, Annihilation, which is a very – it's funny because I didn't realize this, and Mitch, I don't think you did either based on our conversations. But Annihilation played in theaters in the United States, Canada, and China, and everywhere else it was released on Netflix the same way that like Bright and Gerald's Game and all those other movies did. I had no mm-hmm. idea that they had anything to do with this movie.
Me neither.
And it's a weird – I had always thought that, you know, Netflix's thing was that they don't – and maybe it's just for their own movies that they don't make movies to be released in the theater. But I guess – I don't know if Alex Garland was having a hard time getting money together for it or what. And then they gave him a sweet deal. I'm not sure how that worked out. But so Natalie Portman plays a biologist – whose husband, Oscar Isaac, was a special ops soldier, and he disappears. He's gone for like a year. She thinks he's dead. And all of a sudden one night he shows up and can't tell her like where he had been or anything like that. And, next thing you know, people show up and the military and whatnot. Cause you know, that typically is not, it's frowned upon when special ops soldiers just all of a sudden show yeah. up out of nowhere.
Right.
And there is this phenomena. What did they call it? The shimmer?
The shimmer.
The shimmer. That it was like some energy beam essentially hit this lighthouse and started fucking up all of the wildlife nearby. And he was sent in with his squad to find out what was going on, and they never heard from anybody. And so she and a bunch of other women, a psychiatrist and a an EMT, which I thought was an odd choice.
Like, yeah.
like not a doctor.
Not a doctor.
Not a physician's assistant. Not a nurse practitioner. An EMT. An EMT, and I forget who the final woman was. What her a physicist, I think, maybe? I don't remember.
Yeah.
They send them into the shimmer to find out essentially what happened. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of goes from there. And Alex Garland had done Ex Machina, or however you say that, Machina,
yeah.
Which is a good movie. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I meant to rewatch that prior to doing this show, but I got tied up doing other shows.
Same here. I didn't watch it again either.
And I, you know, it's got some interesting visuals. Just the idea of the shimmer is essentially yeah. like combining and rewriting. It's not just rewriting DNA. It's kind of taking the DNA of things and combining it together. They mention it's like a prism.
Yeah.
And so there's some very interesting kind of concepts around the biology, of the area. But I can't say I really understood like what the movie like was about or what it was
yeah.
trying to say.
Right.
It was certainly enjoyable. And there's one moment in particular, that's fucking scary as hell and disgusting at
Jesus.
The same time. and you know, it's not a very gore heavy movie. So when violence does happen, you know, you notice it.
Yeah.
But in terms of like the whole ending part, I was just like, I don't know what's happening, right? And this one, I don't think we should spoil.
No, I'm not going to either.
I was like, I don't know what's going on. It was too long. I think you probably know
it was too long
that I'm talking. Yeah, I was just like, okay, and not just because I was confused. I mean, eventually, let me say this: I understood what was happening. I guess I didn't really understand the purpose of it.
Yeah. It's one of those that I feel like, you know, this kind of movie ends one of two ways. It either ends abruptly and it leaves you wondering what the fuck, or it attempts to like beat you over the head with its message or what it is, but it still doesn't make sense. And so it just goes on for so long and you're still like, well, I see what's happening. I don't get the significance. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, and this one, unfortunately, I'm not saying I wanted it to end abruptly. You know, it could have just been like she sees the lighthouse, boom, credits.
Right.
Or something, you know, because movies do that shit to you. You know, they're just right. Like, you know, that's all you get. And it would have been a cool movie, but I'd been like, yeah, except for that ending. Well, in this case, it gives you an ending, and it's still not really clear exactly what they were trying to say or what really happened. Like, I know what happened, but it's like, I still don't understand.
I don't really understand what happened in the end, to be perfectly honest, particularly around her husband. I didn't understand that part at all. And they did this stuff with her backstory. Like, they would kind of flash back to her and her husband. And I get that part, but then they also flash back to some other parts of her personal life that just felt like it was there just for the sake of some sort of tension, not,
I think to add to the drive for her character wanting to go into the Shimmer, like needing to get, you know what I mean? She needed, because, you know, she thinks her husband's been gone for a year and, you know, they ended, you know, when he left, they weren't exactly in a, you know, the most stable place in their relationship because she had done some things. And I mean, I'm sure she felt guilty as fuck, you know, the whole time he was gone. And so when he shows up, I think that the backstory there sort of is for us to give her more motive to want to need to go in there and just see, you know, what happened to him, like what went on.
Yeah. And I get that, but it's just that so much of their relationship was cast as them actually being pretty happy. So, you know, like, I don't really know how much you kind of needed that because, you know, and he was gone for a year. And then he comes back, and then she's just like, you know, so I think anybody who was concerned about their loved one and then, you know, had just kind of clearly hadn't gotten over them. And then they do end up alive. Like, they're going to want to go after them and try to see kind of what's going on.
Sure. Right.
But yeah, I mean, it was. You know, there's some interesting ideas in it. It's just that I just felt like I really didn't understand what the purpose of it was.
I felt like there was so much potential for the mixing of the biologies and this, like all the things that the things they were doing. And there's some really neat things in the movie. Don't get me wrong. And, you know, I liked what was in it. I loved the one part where I sent you the text, and I was like, after watching, I was like, I was involuntarily holding my breath.
Yeah.
Like, I was so fucking creeped out, and the tension was so thick in this one scene.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I didn't even realize it, but I was holding my breath. I was like, I didn't want to move. I didn't want to breathe. But there's like, what, three things at the most? And it's like, God, there was so much potential for so much cool shit. And it was sort of like, I loved what we got, but as soon as the first thing happens, I was like, oh shit, we're in for some shit. And,
and then it's like, oh,
it's like, oh, those flowers are neat. Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah. That was cool. Yeah.
But, you know, I was expecting so much more fucked up stuff, and like, we get one really fucked up thing, but other than that, I mean, not so much with the, you know.
Yeah, I will say, though, that oh shoot, I totally lost it. What was I gonna say? Damn it! Sorry. I had it. There was something about it that I was like. I mean, the performances were good.
Yeah.
And you know, Oscar Isaac, he's always a treat to watch. Sure. But God, yeah. What was I gonna say? Shit. Yeah. Totally gone.
That's
totally gone. Yeah, I'm just like, nice callback to the ruins.
Which
is actually a really good interpretation of a fantastic book.
That's exactly what The Ruins is. Yep. Oh my God. I watched The Ruins because of Jonathan Tucker, because I love me some motherfucking Jonathan Tucker. Like, anything that man does, I watch it. Mm-hmm. I watched American Gods because of Jonathan Tucker, and he's a fucking bit part in it.
It's good.
But The Ruins, so fucking good. So good movie. And then as soon as the movie was over, I was like, well, I want to read the book. It's one of those. Yeah. I do that a lot. I don't read the book first. I watch the movie first. And then I'm like, that was fucking good. Is it based on a book? Fuck yeah, I need that shit. Yeah,
that book is fucked up.
That book was amazing.
Yeah.
It was so good. Like, the way the vines fucked with him in the book was so much better than the movie.
Yeah.
Like, making the bread smells and this, the fresh bread and shit. I was like, oh, that's fucking dirty. That is dirty, Vine. Like,
yeah, but they did a really good job of capturing that in the movie.
They did, because
when you read the book, you're just kind of like, okay, you know, that was fucked up. And then when you when they're, you find they're going to make it into a movie, you're like, I'm not that. But yeah, it was, that was a good interpretation, I guess.
Yep.
Is the right. But yeah, so Annihilation, I kept thinking of Arrival, which I cried watching Arrival like a baby. And then I told my wife about Arrival. And when I was telling her about it, she said to me, are you actually crying right now? And I was crying when I was telling my wife about Arrival. I think that, like, I love the guy who made that movie. He made Sicario, and he made Prisoners, I think is the name of the movie, where Hugh Jackman goes ham that one dude, Paul, something or other. But I thought, like, I kind of kept thinking of Arrival, and they're totally different movies. They're totally different movies. So don't even go into it thinking it's like Arrival. The only thing that's in common is I kind of consider them to be like high science fiction. But I think Arrival was just such a better movie, had so much more to say, and then did a better job in saying what it wanted to say, that I had originally gone into Annihilation feeling like it was going to be like Arrival and then being disappointed.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't cry, so I get
it. Now, this one, no tears for this one. I will say, I have almost nothing but praise for this movie. Like, I've nitpicked a couple of little things. The one thing that irks me, and I assume it was supposed to be a revelation or a twist, it's given away so early that it really irked me. I was just like, man, come on. If Natalie Portman doesn't say one thing early in the movie, then it's so much cooler when she gets to the lighthouse. But
I'll have to find out what that one thing is, because
we'll talk later. I don't want to spoil it. Yeah. But there's one thing I was just like, oh, come on. Yeah. Okay. Other than that, nothing but praise. Loved it. It's probably my second favorite on the year so far.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was looking at the list today, and I'm like, you know what? I still think that oh, fuck. What is it? What's the one that I like so much that you didn't like, or didn't like as much?
This year?
Yeah. With the creature. The fuck was that? The Ritual. The Ritual is still my favorite, but I think this is probably number two for me.
Oh, okay. Huh, interesting. So far. All right. All right, so next up is Pacific Rim Uprising. Now, I will always go on record saying that I still believe, because I watched it again, I still believe the original Pacific Rim was a mess. I think it was a great mess. I think it was one totally, you can totally enjoy it. You can have a great time. You can watch it multiple times, but every time I watch it, I still, of all of Guillermo del Toro's movies, I feel like it's his worst one, which is like saying the worst meal that, you know, a gourmet chef cooks, right? Like, that doesn't mean it's bad. It's just, to me, it's not my favorite. And I still think that it's kind of a mess.
Sure.
But I also wonder how much of that is intentional. And so I read some criticism of this movie where they said, like, they loved the first one. But they hated this one because it was a mess. And I was like, I genuinely do not understand where those two statements would come from. That you would say, I loved the first one, but this one's a mess, so I don't like it as much.
Right.
Like, I don't get that.
Yeah, you know, I touched on this a little bit before when we were talking about the first Pacific Rim. And here's my feeling towards that Pacific, the first one. I feel like Del Toro probably grew up, like most of us did, loving Robotech and Gundam and all the movies. And he wanted to make a live action version of that, right? And I think that's why the dialogue is sort of weird and wonky. I think that's why the performances are weird and wonky.
Me too.
I think that's exactly what that movie is for him.
Yep.
It's not my favorite Del Toro either, but I'll be goddamned if it ain't fan service for everyone who's ever seen Gundam or Robotech and thought that was the fucking shit.
Right. I was talking to my wife beforehand because I was my son. I was like, do you want to go see this movie? And he's like, sure. And I said, and Linda was like, well, does he need to see the first one? I said, not really. The first one's not that great of a movie. And she's like, well, wait a minute. Why are you going to see a sequel to a movie that you don't think was that great? I said, I love it. I think it's a fantastic. Yep. I love it, but I can see why a lot of people don't like it. And I said, because it's just like the old and like the monster movies, like the kaiju movies. Nobody watched Godzilla for fantastic performances, stuff like that. Like you wanted monsters hitting monsters. And then once you got used to them, you wanted the camp and the bad performances and all that stuff.
Yep.
It just, you know, it kind of became part of it. So you were okay with it, but you can understand why someone would watch it. And maybe they're not as invested in the monster stuff. And they're just like, well, this is terrible.
Yeah.
So I get it.
I agree. Yep.
And I feel like I liked Uprising a little bit better simply because I loved John Boyega in it. I understand like what you're saying that Charlie Hunnam there, that could have been on Perfect. I don't know if it was. I just having watched as many seasons of Sons of Anarchy as I did, I don't know if it was.
There's one thing that he does and I rewatched Pacific Rim. Like I got like everybody in the house. Like I put it on when Jacob was on Xbox and Katie's on my Switch or my laptop doing her thing. I put it on, and the first time that the Gypsy Danger goes out against Knifehead, they were fucking glued. Like everything else came to a halt in the house, and the whole house was glued to the TV for 2 hours, and it was amazing. Wow. And I turned the surround sound up real loud. Like I don't do that a lot. I do it for certain movies, but usually I'm by myself. But, you know, everybody's watching it, and I'm like, I'm cranking this shit. Fuck it. Because this is one of those movies that I want to hear. I want to hear it. And we all just were like this. It was like – it was so good. But one thing I noticed, and I actually said it to Holly. I was like, look, he's doing the monkey walk again. Every time when he's supposed to be walking with a purpose.
Oh, yeah.
He does this gorilla walk with his – he does this thing with his arms. I'm like, he's walking like a fucking monkey. What is he doing? Like what the hell is Charlie Hunnam's thing with this monkey walk? And so it's like every time I see him now, I just wait for him. I'm like, once he gets mad or once he has to go, he's trying to be a badass, he's going to throw his arms out. He's going to walk like a gorilla. And I'll be damned if he doesn't do it. Everything. So you'll never be able to unsee it, listeners. Yeah. So you're welcome.
I will never forget me watching the finale of Sons of Anarchy with my wife in the room and her going, he's going to get hit by that truck. And I was like, no, he is not. They are not going to end 7 years, 7 seasons of the show.
I knew it.
With him getting hit by a fruit truck. And she's like, he's totally getting hit by the truck. And then I had to sit there when he got hit. And I look at her. She just was smiling and nodding her head. I was like, God damn it. God damn you, Kurt Sutter.
Oh, no. Yeah. I was already mad at him anyway, for how my boy Juice went out. So.
Oh, no shit, right? God, Jesus. Yeah, mm-hmm. How many times can you get raped by Marilyn Manson?
Jesus Christ, I know, man. Like, I'm still mad at Marilyn Manson.
But anyway, so Uprising takes place, it's like 10 years, I guess, after... after the original Pacific Rim, and the the Jaeger program has been, for the most part, is done. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know how you would say it, but the I don't even know why they still had them. I guess just in case, but the Jaeger program, they were working with this Chinese company, to be able to, build drones, to take over for the Jaegers. And the guy, not the guy with the cane. I don't know their names. Not the doctor with the cane.
Newt.
Yeah. Newt.
Charlie.
Charlie Day. Yeah. There. Was that him?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's working with the Chinese company and, to build these drones and whatnot. And so John Boyega plays Stagger Pentecost's son, who he had been in the program, he got kicked out of the program. And then he hooks up with this teenage girl who had built her own Jaeger. It was like a mini Jaeger though. And they both kind of get brought back into, the program, so to speak. And then bad shit goes down. And I was watching it, and my son, I was surprised because the way he was kind of moving around in the theater, I thought for certain he didn't like it. But then we got done. He's like, that was awesome. And I didn't read when I went to the movie. There was actually an IMAX show. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. He's never seen an IMAX movie. This is a good first IMAX movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it was like fucking loud as hell and giant ass monster. So he had a good time, and he said he thought it was awesome. I don't know. Like, I can understand why some people wouldn't like it. I thought it was fine. I thought it was great. I had a good time while I was watching it. I don't know if it was a good movie. But I didn't have a problem with it.
No,
I know that I'm not like really hyping it up, but
right. Here's the thing. It's like, okay, my initial response to it was like, wow, that was such a 90s sequel to an 80s movie. You know what I mean? Like, it was so like, all right, so first of all, it had some pacing issues, I felt.
Yeah.
You know, for an hour and what, 45 minutes or so? If you give me one kaiju in the first 45 minutes and that's in the goddamn training simulation.
Right.
That's a little you're pushing it for me for this kind of thing. And then, sure, John Boyega is great, but when isn't he? But then you introduce all these other characters that I don't know about you, but I don't give a fuck about them.
I actually like the girl. I thought she's really okay. Good.
She's good, but like, name any of the others. You know what I mean? Like, there's
Square Jaw.
Yeah, there's Meat Girl.
Square Jaw, Russian Scarlett Johansson.
Right.
Indian guy.
Yeah.
Asian guy one, Asian guy two. Right.
Exactly. And they spend so much time on these characters and we're supposed to care about them, but there's almost no development. They're not likable. I'm just like, what are we doing here? Like, and obviously we know what's going to happen. They're going to be the ones who end up piloting the Jaegers when shit finally goes down. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't care. Like, they're just whatever. They're throwaway characters to me.
I was fine. I don't know. I guess I see your point. I mean, they want you to care about them, but then they don't give them enough for you to care about.
Right.
It's more like, okay, well, you know, Russian Scarlett Johansson is mad for reasons we don't know.
Right.
You know, she's just, I don't know. And then, you know, everybody else is perfectly nice. And then the square jaw guy, like, I mean, you kind of understood his point of view. And then there was hot mechanic who maybe was with square jaw. Maybe wasn't. I don't know.
That whole thing was weird. It's like they play her up to be a major character and then she just goes away.
She's like, yeah.
Like for 85% of the movie.
Well, you know what though? You know, towards the end there, they're fairly aggressive about their Jaeger repair schedule. So I can understand why maybe she had to.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn. She's
busy.
Yeah.
But the last 35, 40 minutes completely made up for anything that I had a problem with first, because holy shit, when it finally does start to go down, it is just like,
yes,
It is just eye candy on top of eye candy.
And it's all balls to the wall. I mean, the whole thing with kind of what was actually going on. I mean, at first I was like, I'm not sure about this. But then, you know, once you kind of go like, all right, that's fine. You know, like,
it is, yeah.
You know, you get used to it. And they did, in my mind, they did have a Gypsy's analog plot point, which at this point I feel like they did just to piss me off. Like, they did it intentionally. The whole, you know, the counterclockwise or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
Of the wire. I was like, all right, come on. Like, I almost like I took that personally. Like, And I don't know. I mean, there could have been like a million other ways. Like, it would have been better if she just held up the wire and it had the company's name on it. It was like, see, you know, yeah, like,
I know.
not that she's like, they're the only people that do that. Like, that's not a thing. That's not a thing.
And that's also that. Thing. That's the most fucking anime Gundam thing in the entire movie, is that we're expected to believe a 12-year-old can find broken down Jaegers and build her own mini Jaeger and know how to pilot it and do all that shit, when all she's done is lose her family and been homeless since she was 8.
Yeah, I'm like, that's I mean, that's not uncommon, right? Like, that's the plot.
I know. It's such an anime thing for the movie. It's so Transformers. Like, and that's the thing. The other thing I will say that I think the first one has over this one is that not only do I like the pilots better, but I feel like the Jaegers are way better in the first one. Like, this one had such a Michael Bay Transformers vibe with these new Jaegers that I honestly I don't remember any of them. I thought they all looked similar. I don't know. I just like the first ones better.
I don't see. I personally didn't have a problem with the Jaegers. I definitely feel like they were doing, you know, they're like, this is the fast kind of like mecha one. This is the big bruiser. This is your, you know, your Gypsy Revenger or Avenger or whatever the fuck it was called. So like I really didn't feel, you know, kind of that much of a difference between, you know, these Jaegers and the other Jaegers, to be perfectly honest.
I guess I feel like they felt like, I don't know how to explain it. They felt like meatier in the first one, like, and like they hit harder. And in this one, they're just getting fucking thrown around left and right. And they all had one thing they do, and that was it. Right. And I sort of felt like in the first one, there was just more like heart behind the
mechs. Would agree. I would agree. I think that you know, this one definitely had more, like more fighting, even though it was at the end, like the first one had more fighting throughout, I think, in terms of like overall time. If you looked at like the amount of time, that was spent, it definitely had, the first one had more, but in terms of like the scope of the battle, this one I think kind of wins in that regard.
I agree.
But the weightiness of it, like you said, was missing. And that was one of the criticisms that I had read, is that even though, you know, and it's funny how, you know, the whole like disaster porn, they don't give a fuck.
Right.
They're just like this movie is just like, people die. It sucks.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's sorry so about funny. Grammy.
It's like, hey, there's this big monster and he's wrecking shit over. Hold on. Let me break out my motherfucking arm sword and cut through this building real quick while I walk over to fight it. And I'm like, God damn, what if somebody's in that building?
You just cut it. And then they say this one little thing. They're just like, people are in the underground. You know, they're in the underground shelters. I'm like, those people weren't.
Exactly. did we scout the building before we broke our fucking sword out of our arm for no reason and cut through it? Like, just to look cool?
Pretty much. I think it's worth watching.
Absolutely, man. It's so fun.
And that's the thing, I guess. I mean, I don't like to be one of those people that's like, you know, oh, if you can just put your brain on hold. You know, I'm not one of those guys, but I genuinely
I mean, maybe it's just because of the way that I like the first one. I don't really understand why maybe somebody would really like the first one and then not this one. But I don't have like a Mecha Gundam like background at all.
You know me. I'm easily pleased when it comes to big things punching other big things. You know, I still enjoy the Transformers movies because, you know, for all the problems that they have, you give me a big robot that's sitting on the back of a big robot dinosaur and it's punching the shit out of other big things, I'm entertained. You know, right. I don't have to, you know, and that's all this is. It's, I wanted to watch big shit punch other big shit, and that's what I got.
Right.
You know, I don't have to turn my brain off for that. Maybe I'm just a simple person, but that's right. What I wanted to see.
Right. And I remember when the first movie came out and they had, you know, the part in the trailer where, like, you know, Gypsy Danger's walking with like the battleship in its hand and like, mm-hmm. Why do you want to see this movie? I was like, because he fucking hit that monster in the face
with a boat. With a
battleship. Yeah, with a boat. Like, why? I don't understand.
That's my favorite part of the first movie still.
Yeah. Like, I don't understand why you don't want to see this movie.
Yeah, no shit. Like, the other night, I was like, watch this part. Like everybody's staring at the 60-inch screen in the living room. I'm like, watch this part. I'm like Dane Cook. It's like, you know, it's like, yeah. No, really. No, that wasn't Dane Cook. That was the guy from King of Queens. Anyway. And he's like, watch this part. Like, you know, what else was I doing? My eyes are open. It's one giant goddamn screen. But I was like, look, he's going to hit him with a boat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it was good. And I mean, John Boyega was great. I mean, it's kind of hard to say that enough, but you know, he was, you know, a lot of times when you know, you have these heroes in these movies, you know, and they're cocky and stuff, there's a little bit of like unlikability to them. They're kind of an asshole, but he was not. He just was like completely charismatic and, you know, it felt genuine when he was being heartfelt and all mm-hmm. that stuff. So, you know, it was, he definitely also, has.
I felt like that he played, I don't know how much like preparation he did. I feel like he's a fairly dedicated actor. Like he's there. I've never seen him in anything. I thought he wasn't great. But he genuinely felt like the kid of Idris Elba.
Yeah.
He had mannerisms and just, you know, he sort of poked a little fun at the speeches and whatnot a couple of times. Yeah. He's like, I'm not going to give you the speech. I'm not my father. But same time, you right. certainly felt like that was his kid.
Yeah. Yeah. He did a good job. Absolutely. You know, definitely check it out. And if you don't want to, you know, you can wait.
Yeah. I already pre-ordered the Blu-ray and, you know, that's when I'll watch it again. I'm not going back to the theater. I'm not going to rent it on VOD or whatever the fuck when it comes out in 2 months. Like I pre-ordered the Blu-ray. I'm looking forward to watching it again, but I'll wait till then.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Me too. Same thing. All right. So real quick, there's a few other ones that I've been I caught up on I've been meaning to watch and I finally got around to watching it. First one is Girls Trip. I'd heard lots of good things about Girls Trip. I love Bridesmaids. Like I love Bridesmaids.
And I still haven't seen it.
I know.
I never got around to watching it.
And, you know, I'm not going to say, I mean, Girls Trip was hilarious. I thought mm-hmm. it was fantastic. I loved everybody in it. I think Tiffany Haddish was fucking, like, she's gotten a lot of press for it. She was mm-hmm. fantastic. Holy shit. She was so good. And it was, you know, it was just a really good, funny movie. Everybody in it was good. And there was also, there's a lot of funny, the one scene they go to a club and they get fucked up on absinthe and then go, that was hilarious. Like I was at work and I was trying hard not to like laugh hysterically. So definitely that's well worth watching.
Okay.
Second one was Kingsman Golden Circle, which you said you bought.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about that movie is that the first movie, you could tell it was from a comic book, but it was still, I'm not going to say like realistic enough, but it wasn't so like balls to the wall where you felt like, I don't know, credibility was being stretched or whatever. It was a comic book movie that maintained the movie part still fairly well.
I think there's that whole Bond aesthetic. You know what I mean? Like Bond is like not a superhero type of thing, but at the same time, there's like those fantastical elements. And I sort of feel like Kingsman did the same thing.
And the second one kind of throws that completely out. Like 100% out the window. It's just and there's Elton John is in it. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Well,
you know, people who love comic book movies love themselves some Elton John. And there's some stuff that happens with him that I'm just like, really? Okay. Like, and if you had seen it in a comic book, you would have been like, oh, that's funny. Ha ha. But in a movie, it just didn't work. And then at the same time, it was kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
And then Channing Tatum is in it, but he's like barely in it. And then
I read that too.
The other guy that they got, Oscar Pena, who I think is great.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, come on. Come on. You're going to put Channing Tatum in a movie, and you're going to put Oscar Pena in a movie, and you're going to give most of the screen time to Oscar Pena? What world are we living in?
That'd
be like if you had Tom Hardy in a movie and Tom Hardy was not in every scene of that movie.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Yep.
Why? That's a waste of film.
Right
there. It's the same thing here. Okay. And then, I mean, just like Juliet Lewis was like, not Juliet Lewis, Juliana Moore. I just was like, and that's the thing. There were so many good people in it. But the worst, the absolute worst, and it's going to ruin it a little for you, but it's not. You'll be okay.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Firth.
Oh, okay.
You're so excited when you see him, and then to kind of see what they did, it broke my heart. There are some really good action sequences, some very innovative kind of camera things that they do. That is really cool. But it's not enough. Like, I watched it once and I was like, that was a movie I watched. And I was happy to have watched it, but I didn't have any desire to watch it again. And I think for you paid $10 for it. You know what? The time and effort it might take to either go in the theater or go and rent it or whatnot is, you know, whatever. If it saves you, if $10 saves you your time, you watch it and you never watch it again.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, also, I own the first one, so I have to own all of them. Like, I have a sickness.
I love the first one.
Yeah, I do too. It's amazing. But I had read the comics, so I was sort of, and you know, Mark Miller, however you want to call his name. If he writes something, I read it, period. I don't even care who the fuck does it.
Yeah, I do like, though, that they did, you know, one of the things they did do is I felt like they still, like, I really liked what they had done with Eggsy in the first movie, and mm-hmm. I felt like this movie kind of kept that going. Like, I think there was a real, other movies would have been like, you know, we're going to make him this kind of asshole, and, mm-hmm. you know, and he wasn't.
That's good.
And they could have made him one in the first movie based on his upbringing. And they similarly, you know, didn't do that here. So I really appreciated that. And of course, I really like Merlin too, the guy that plays him. But it's just that the rest of it, I don't know. It just wasn't as good. And then finally, American Assassin. I'm a big Dylan O'Brien fan. I love Dylan O'Brien, mostly because of Teen Wolf. Teen Wolf is a show my wife started watching on MTV, and she was like, it's really good. And I was like, Teen Wolf? No, it's not.
on MTV.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm just gonna stop you right there. I watch a lot. I watched every episode of The Following. I know shitty television. I know shitty television. And I gotta say, I must say that, you know, I thank you, Netflix, when Altered Carbon was on, because as much as I watched The Following, I never saw James Purefoy's dick, and now I have.
Yep.
So I feel like thank you for that. Absolutely. Yep. So she was like, no, it is really good. And I was like, okay. And so one vacation when we went to Florida, we brought the Roku with us, and we binge watched all the seasons of Teen Wolf. And I was like, God damn, the show actually is good. And is Dylan it O'Brien, really? Yeah, it is. Not the earlier seasons. The later seasons when so Dylan O'Brien plays Styles, and I forget his full name. His last name
is shit.
Like Stylekowski or something, or Style yeah. something. And he and so the last season Styles isn't in it. My wife and I, we spent the entire season going, do you know what's happening? No? Okay, cool. I don't know what's happening. But Dylan O'Brien plays Styles, and Styles was great. He was one of the only people who wasn't like a supernatural creature, and he just was awesome. He was funny, and he was like tender and just like a really cool guy. And you know, he had to put up with the fact that his best friend was like a werewolf, and he wasn't a werewolf, and you know, he was like everybody else in this goddamn town was some kind of supernatural being, and he just was Styles. And he was he just was great. He just was so fantastic. And so I have always been interested in Hollywood just desperately trying to make Dylan O'Brien the next like action movie star. So they put him in the Maze Runner movies and he fucking broke his hand and arm and whatnot. And those movies were okay. Like they kind of rode the coattails of, you know, Hunger Games and then Divergent, which I never understood why Divergent was a thing.
Detergent.
Awful. Yeah, exactly. Those movies were terrible, but whatnot, whatever. Yeah. And Maze Runner was okay. Like, it wasn't a bad movie. I just didn't really understand kind of why, you know. And so American Assassin is this movie where Dylan O'Brien plays a dude who has an admittedly very attractive fiance, fills out a bikini quite well, and she gets straight up murdered in the beginning of the movie when they're vacationing, and he trains himself to become a martial arts knife throwing,
you know, like,
Arabic speaking guy, because he's going to infiltrate. He's like masking himself as like a wannabe terrorist, and he's going to infiltrate their group and take them out.
As you do.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one thing. Some people go to grief counseling. Some people do that. And he gets captured by the CIA, and he gets sent to some camp in the woods where Michael Keaton teaches him how to be a good agent, although he does a terrible job of being a good agent. It is a perfectly enjoyable action movie.
Yeah.
As long as you don't care a goddamn thing about it. Like, if you could just watch it.
I'm going to have to watch it then, because I had no idea what to do. I love Michael Keaton.
He stabs so many people.
I'm not going to lie to you.
Here's the problem, though. Taylor Kitsch is in it, and I love Taylor Kitsch. I love Taylor Kitsch. I just saw Taylor Kitsch in Waco.
Oh yeah,
and he was great. But Taylor Kitsch in this movie, Taylor Kitsch is from Canada, by the way.
Yeah.
He was gonna be a professional hockey player until he blew his knee out like twice, and then it didn't happen. He is not from the South. He was on a show. He said in Texas, two of them, if you count Waco, which was a 6-part limited miniseries, and then Friday Night Lights. So he was on two shows where he was from Texas, but he's not from Texas.
Right.
So he doesn't need to be from Texas in everything that he's in. When he was on John on Mars, what was the name of that show? That movie? You know what movie I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I do. John Carter, yeah.
Which I actually enjoyed quite a bit. I just feel like the marketing of that movie let it down tremendously.
Right.
He was not from Texas.
Right.
He shouldn't be from Texas because it doesn't work. And because I'd just seen him in Waco, every time he opened his mouth, I expected him to be like, the seals have opened! Like, I will not let these people out of the compound until there's a sign from God. And then Dylan O'Brien's trying to, like, stab him in the face. You know, like. In fact, I had I Am My Wife, and I said, it was a really weird movie because it was like Styles kept trying to stab David Koresh. And my wife messaged back, I would watch that movie. And I was like, I would too.
Right?
But, you know, it apparently the movie's based on a book. It's like a series of books, and they're just trying to do their own, like, Jason Bourne, Jack Ryan type of thing.
That's what it hit me as, like, one of those.
With Dylan O'Brien as the guy, and I'm like, let's do it. Because Styles, here's the thing. In Teen Wolf, Styles was not the guy, which I think it's funny that he is the one who has a bigger career than anybody else, because Tyler Posey and the guy he plays Superman now on Supergirl, Dylan Hawk. Why do I know all their names?
I don't know who the fuck they are. Sorry.
Anyway, all these guys are much like better looking, and they got to take their shirts off and be the werewolves, and then Styles is just like, I have a Jeep, I can drive everybody, but yet he's the guy who now has like a movie career, and they did a pretty good job in this movie of going from random guy who turns into this like insatiable killing machine. Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of like, you know what? Like, there's something here. If it just needs to be kind of better all around.
Yeah.
Like the story needs to be better. The movie making itself needs to be better. This movie kind of ends with this big set piece where you're just kind of like, but I think there's something there. It's just a question as to whether or not they're kind of allowed to do it, because I don't know how well the movie did.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
So I still have like a bunch of other things to watch, but those were like movies. Like I kept kind of like, so this is what I do. Like I go grocery shopping, and as I'm waiting for them to bag my groceries, I look at the red box and I squint and my eyes suck. And then I pull out my phone and I make a list of movies that I see on the red box. And I go, okay, these are movies that I want to see. And then I, I'll rent them or whatnot and, watch them. And so I still have I, Tonya, Blade Runner 2049.
I own that.
Lady Bird.
I want to see that. Yep.
I'm trying to think what else. Oh, The Foreigner with Jackie Chan.
Yeah, I want to see that too. I don't have that yet.
Yeah, and I got Bad Moms Christmas for my wife because she loves Bad Moms.
Ooh,
loves Bad Moms.
Have the bourbon.
Made me watch Bad Moms, and I just was like, "This is how you feel when I make you watch all these other movies." Like, wow, okay,
Bad Moms was so bad, but at the same time, it makes Bad Moms Christmas look like Citizen Kane. So
you're going to need. I love Mila Kunis, and I love Kristen Bell. I love both of them.
Yep.
So when she was like, Bad Moms is really funny, and I was like, really? So when I was sitting there watching the movie, I was like, holy shit, this is how she feels through everything I've ever made her watch.
Right. So here's the fucked up thing. I recommended it. I was like, oh, we got to watch this because it's Mila Kunis and Kristen Bell. It's going to be hilarious. And Ollie's sitting there looking at me like, really? You wanted to watch this? And I was like, I didn't know.
Just like I love Christine Baranski.
On paper,
and so,
it works.
Right. And that's the thing. So she's like, it wasn't as good. And I was like, okay, sorry. Whatever. I think those are the only ones that are left, because I finally finished all of my Friday the 13th. So we're good on that part.
Ooh, we got to get into that next show, because I have so one other thing before we sign off. Don't watch Demon House, people. Don't watch it. It's if you love that ghost adventure show, then this is going to be a wet dream for you. But if you roll your eyes at the ghost adventures the way I do.
Like Ghost Hunters, you mean?
No, I like Ghost Hunters. Like I'm just talking about the other one. What's the other one?
Ghost Facers?
I thought it was Ghost.
That's from Supernatural.
Yeah, no, hold on. It's Ghost Adventures, I think. The one on the Travel Channel.
On the Trout Channel?
Travel Channel.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure it's Ghost Adventures. Whatever the fuck. I don't know. I don't watch it. It's fucking terrible.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know any of these things.
Then don't. Just, you're good. Okay, but speaking to the audience, if you like Ghost Hunters, which is a good show, and you're into this type of thing, but you've seen Ghost Adventures or Ghost whatever the fuck the one on the Travel Channel is with a douchebag that's on it, okay? There's a douchebag guy, and he's on the show, and it's fucking stupid. This movie, which the internet will attempt to trick you into believing, is a movie that's been filmed of an actual haunting, okay? Because I read a review, And I was like, I have to see this right now. And then as soon as that asshole walked into the screen, I was like, oh, fuck me. Oh, God, this is going to be a 90-minute episode of fucking Ghost Fuckers or Ghost Haunters, whatever the fuck the name of that show is. And I'll be goddamned if it's not. And we'll get more into it next time because I was going to explain it to you and I never did. I don't want you to watch it. And we're out of time for this show. But next show, I'm fixing to rip this motherfucker apart.
Okay.
And good. I have real life proof that it's bullshit. So,
oh, real life that's proof.
All, yes, sir. Okay. That's all I'm going to say.
Folks, you heard it here.
Next
episode, we're going to debunk Ghost Fuckers or whatever the fuck it's called.
Demon House, which is a full length episode of Ghost Fuckers.
I like it. Yeah, we can get into all the Friday the 13th. Yeah, well, I just want you
to talk about six. Just please tell me about six next episode.
Which one is six? Six is
Jason Lives, the greatest movie that's ever been filmed in the history of modern civilization.
Okay, absolutely. Absolutely.
My favorite movie of all time, Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives.
All right. I can do that. Absolutely.
All right.
You have something to look forward to next time, people. And then we might get into some other stuff. Hopefully we'll have some more Far Cry 2 and whatnot. You know, good times as always. We appreciate you spending time on this. And for everybody who watched the stream, Hargrata, Artistic, Kojabad, and who help out as I'm playing Monster Hunter. As we're stumbling our way through Monster Hunter.
God bless them totally, for watching our mediocre since they played so far ahead.
Right. So we definitely appreciate it. And then, you know, y'all can always catch up with us on Twitch and Twitter and whatnot. And so whatever we do next episode, we hope you'll be here with us. So for myself and Mitch, this has been episode 44 of Divided by Werewolves. So thanks for hanging out with us. Good night and have a good evening.